Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we talk about wills, trust, Medicaid, probate. We answer any questions that you may have. It's a call-in show. You can give us a call at 518-476-5900 if you have any questions. Or if you want to call and make an appointment to see us in one of our four offices at Albany, Kingston, Saratoga, and Queensbury, you can give us a call at 518-465-7581. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. I was just thinking, I haven't been to Kingston in a while. Have you been to Queensbury in
I haven't.
That's been a while for you.
It's been a while for me, so we can't.
We split up the opposite ends of the Northway, you and I.
Yeah.
You do more Kingston, I do more Queensbury.
Yeah, that's right.
It works.
It's a big stretch there, so we can't do them all the time.
Right? It is. I think Dave did Kingston and Queensbury in one day last week or 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's insane.
I was like, you're a madman.
Yeah.
It's just too far. Just too far.
Well, he drives a little bit quick. Yeah. I'll just say
that. Gets there a little quicker. It's still long, though. Still long.
We used to talk about going to Kingston. I'm like, oh, it's an hour. And he's like, an hour? It's like 45
Nothing.
Minutes.
Nothing.
I'm like, it's not 45 minutes. I don't know how fast he drives.
Just for him, it is. Yeah, it works. Had a good week last week. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good week. Yeah.
Went to, I took off Wednesday, as you know.
I do. I saw that, yes. I
took my two older kids to their first Yankee game.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Core
that's
memory.
Fun.
My wife and I took both of them, and great experience. Haven't been there in a while.
I remember bringing my kids to the Yankees, and of course, we live in Massachusetts, so they're Red Sox fans.
Dangerous territory, yeah.
And we got tickets to the
Great
Yankees.
Great kids they are. Great
Quiet
kids
over there,
they
man.
Are.
Quiet.
And they didn't want to go. I'm like, I don't care if you're Red Sox fans. This is an opportunity to go to a Yankees game. Why not go?
It's interesting that you say that because people that are Yankee fans want to go to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Just to see the Fenway Park. And it's the same thing for Red Sox fans. You want to go to Yankee Stadium and experience
it's the experience.
Yeah, you
check
should.
Out different ballparks and the culture and whatnot, right? It's
a fun
time.
Right. Well, I remember my father-in-law had to get on the phone with him and was like, you're going, you're not, because he's a big Yankees fan.
Nice.
It's like, you got to go to Yankee Stadium. It's going to be great, you know. And
it's a fun time. They changed a lot. They had there's a viral dessert that my kids had to have this year. I waited online, of course. Mm-hmm. It looks like a fried chicken drumstick. But it's ice cream.
Oh, interesting.
I have to say, it was pretty good. It was worth the wait.
Yeah. Bizarre. Okay.
Bizarre, but good. It was like
good.
Candied cornflakes was the coating, vanilla ice cream, and a chocolate-covered pretzel for the bone.
Well, it cost like $20. Or...
Close. Just about. And when it wasn't big, I'll tell you that. Anyway.
That's my memory of, my other memory of Yankee Stadium is going broke on the food.
Yeah, easily and quickly. That's right. So, Jamie, I figured we could talk about some of the negative consequences of not planning or improper planning today that we see somewhat too often sometimes.
Yes.
And sometimes we can fix it. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes fixing it is not the best version that the client is happiest about, but it's our best option, right?
I know. How many people do we meet that are in their 60s or 70s and they've never done any estate planning documents?
Literally daily, I think.
Yes, that's
honestly,
right. Honestly.
Yes. I always say to them, you know, it is what it is. No harm, no foul. You made it this far. Nothing looks like nothing went wrong, but it's a risky move to not plan early because things could happen. You don't want to be the ones caught off guard.
Yeah, it is risky, but a lot of people just don't want to do it.
And some of the stuff is, you know, the low-hanging fruit is so easy to take care of. Just your basic... what we call a basic estate planning package, right? That the foundational documents that cover the God forbid type moments of death, illness, disability.
Yeah.
They're not expensive to put in place.
Nope.
I don't want to say they're not difficult because some of the topics require you to give some deep thinking and go down a rabbit hole that you likely don't want to go down. Some morbid, you know, topics to think about. But you do it. You get it in place, it's done for the time, and you adjust it when necessary. When we talk about that basic plan, what do you usually tell clients they should be doing?
Yeah,
at the least.
At the very least, you need to have your power of attorney, right? Your healthcare proxy and your will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first two, power of attorney and healthcare proxy, people, well, why do I need that? My spouse can do everything. We're joint on all the accounts, right?
Wrong.
That's right. There's so many things that can happen that, you know, until it happens to you, you don't need it, right? But when it happens, you're going to say, oh, I wish I had those documents done.
Yeah, you know, that marriage certificate gives you very limited rights, surprisingly, to some people. There's a law in New York, I think it's another family law, that gives the spouse some degree of decision-making for medical decisions, but it's only the high-level stuff, right?
And it's only while you're in the hospital.
Yep. Right? So it's really limited in scope. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like HIPAA release and things of that nature either in there. Mm-hmm. So even if you are married, you can't assume my spouse can step in and handle things for me if I can't.
Right.
You still need to designate that spouse, if you want, mm-hmm. as your healthcare proxy, as your power of attorney in those formal legal documents.
Right. Yeah, so like typically you may be joined on a bank account, but you know, let's say, you know, Michael was sick and I had to call his employer, right?
Right.
And do something about, you know, his pay or call his 401k plan. They're not going
to
talk to you.
Yeah, I talk to the insurance company, file a claim if something's denied.
Yeah.
I get there too, though. Oh, well, we're joint on everything. We have everything joined together. And that's, I'm like, that's good. I mean, that covers something.
That covers your checking account. But
yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of times you may need to be out on leave if he's sick, right? Or we may need to get some short-term disability going. And there's lots of things you can't do.
Yeah, many things. So healthcare proxy power attorney, even if it's, you know, if you are married and it's just your spouse, we always want you to have backups in place if possible.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some clients where they don't have anyone right now. They say, I literally can't think of a single person that I would trust or want to ask to do that. And you know, so be it. If you have just a primary, that's better than having nothing in place. But certainly, if possible, having backups is desirable.
Yeah, definitely. Because you're planning for, you know, worst case scenario. So what if you and your spouse were in an accident together?
Sure. Right. Yeah. You just don't know. Hmm. So some people don't have those documents in place, and talking about consequences of not planning, this is something that we see somewhat too often again. Someone gets sick and they're incapacitated to some degree where they can't sign these documents. The documents don't exist. They can't sign them because they're not conscious or they're not competent. Mm-hmm. Now what do we do? Even if I'm the spouse, right? And they come to our office, you know, I need to get my spouse into a facility, but he or she's not competent anymore. Oh, you're the power of attorney, I assume? Right. No, we never did that. Yeah. What do we even do now?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's an expensive thing to do at that point in time because we have to do a guardianship proceeding.
Yeah, so guardianship proceeding is a legal, formal court proceeding. And we start to explain this to people and, you know, they get angry sometimes. Well, why not? They would want me to be their person.
Yeah,
I'll guide their hand and sign the documents.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not risking my law license to say that this person had competency. Mm-hmm. We can't do that.
We're making that judgment call a lot. So, you know, sometimes we are in that situation and we'll be like, okay, I'll go to the hospital and see if they can sign documents. And you know, we don't really know till we get there and talk to the person and see if they can sign or not.
I think for the most part, as a firm, we'll always try, meaning that we'll make the attempt and see if we feel the person is competent enough, because that obviously will be the much easier, cheaper, quicker route for the person to be able to help their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
But if we show up and the, you know, the individual doesn't know where they are, doesn't know who their family is, doesn't know what assets they have.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain levels of competency, although not that high, that are required to sign these documents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've certainly been there and seen both sides of it.
Yeah.
I mean, just last night, it was for one of your clients. I was at the hospital.
Right.
And talking to this gentleman, and luckily he had pulled through a major spell of illness. And,
sure.
And I did talk to him, and he knew everything that was going on, so we were able to have him sign some papers. Yeah,
which is great. The better scenario would have been if he'd done planning, you know, years ago, obviously, luckily it ended up working out in this case. But it's not always the option. Not always what happens.
No, I mean, we were in the you know intensive care unit. He was getting ready to leave it, but still, like, pretty serious, and you know.
Yeah, luckily he did pull through. But
yeah, it was great that he pulled through. They were going to move him out of the ICU, which was good.
Yeah.
But this was, of course, really last minute. Getting him to sign everything, pull it all together was pretty tricky.
Yeah, and on our side, you know, we had to rush a little bit too. And mm-hmm. yeah, thank you for it was more close to where you were living, so yes, you were able to take care of that for me. I appreciate that. But mm-hmm. we try our best to do those things. It doesn't always work out. And when it doesn't work out, we're in that guardianship realm. And again, that's a legal mm-hmm. formal court proceeding. So we have to file a petition. Mm-hmm. And that petition has to have a lot of information in it, a lot of, you know, evidentiary support of why this person is not competent right. mm-hmm. and who should be appointed as guardian. And then it's actually a court proceeding. Like it's not a full mm-hmm. trial. It's more of a hearing and the right. judge is like the jury, if you will. But you're sitting across maybe how far away, 10 feet from your loved one. You have to take the stand.
Yes.
And talk about all these potentially embarrassing reasons why the person's not yes. competent right in front of them.
It's really not, it's terrible, honestly.
Not pleasant.
Yeah, it's not pleasant for that person to hear that they're not competent and they can't handle things.
No, it creates conflict with other family members sometimes, and, you know, it's expensive, and we have a caller. All right.
Mm-hmm. Hello, we have Hello. Paul from Saratoga.
Hi, Hello. Paul.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing today?
Good. I got a good Fats Domino story for you. I don't know, you probably don't want to hear that.
Let's hear it. Love you some Fats Domino. What do you mean?
Yeah. When I was 12 years old, he pulled into my mother's restaurant. They had three Cadillacs. Uh-huh. He was in a pink one, of course. And I was, you know, and she had a great Italian restaurant over outside of Albany. But anyway, he came in. They had 10 people. He gave my mother $1,000.
Wow.
As a tip?
Gave, mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Well, you know, I mean, the cost of the meal out of that.
Okay. Anyway, that's still nice.
Yeah, he gave her 10 $100 bills and said, look, take care of my, you know, my people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she was tremendous cook. She had a great restaurant. She mm-hmm. you know, she made them lasagna and whatever. And I made the antipastas. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Speaking my language, Paul.
Anyway, I played Blueberry Hill on the jukebox, mm-hmm. and he sang it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, of course, that's before they had cell phones. Anyway, he sang it, mm-hmm. and he played the piano, you know, in the place, you know, by the bar. Mm-hmm. He sang Blueberry Hill, and that's my Fats Domino story.
That must have stuck with you for the rest of your life, I'm sure. That's yeah. a core memory right there.
Well,
that's amazing.
I mean, my God, I mean, you know, I tell everybody that's how I know Fats Domino.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's great, yeah.
Okay, I got to mm-hmm. answer a question.
I hope so. Let's see what you got.
Okay. All right, what if you just have a copy of your will and you don't have the original? The lawyer, you know, since retired, and I can't get a hold of him. He's got the original. But what if you just have a copy? Is that okay?
Well, it does become an issue if you have to use that will when the person passes away, because generally speaking...
Well, the person would be me.
It's you. All right, so here's yeah. here's a piece of advice for you that's the quickest and easiest advice. If you cannot locate the original, you need to do a new will. Mm-hmm. Because if that can't be located yeah. and you pass away, it is very, very, very difficult to get a copy of a will admitted to the court to be able to use. They will assume,
really?
Yep, because the court presumes that you intentionally destroyed it. Mm-hmm. And for the executor to overcome that presumption takes a lot of evidence and is often not successful. So,
yep. Okay, all right.
Easy advice to you, do a new will.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm divorced. I have a son and daughter. My son, Chris, he's down by New York City. He's the executor mm-hmm. and, you know, everything goes to my son and daughter, but I mean, I won't have a lot. I have a stipulation that a life insurance policy will, you know, pay off my credit cards and stuff. But so you're telling me the copy that I have in my safe deposit box or whatever is no good.
It's okay. not. It's likely not going to be sufficient. Yeah, I would definitely do a new one. Even if you say, oh, I might not have that much, or I have other designations, you still always want a will. As at least a safety net, because some things do come up that right. can't be accounted for. So, absolutely.
All right, so I'm going to have to find a lawyer and get into it. All right, thanks a lot for your time.
Oprah, if you want to come to us, bring some lasagna, okay?
Okay.
she was a tremendous cook. They used to come from, I mean, Friday night, you couldn't get a seat.
I would have loved to try her cooking.
Yeah, you couldn't get a seat in her restaurant.
That's awesome.
But I still have the recipes, today.
Oh, that's great.
Ooh.
There we go.
Family secrets.
I got her lasagna, her sauce, the chicken parm.
Nice.
She was tremendous. But anyway, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you calling.
Okay. Thank you. And we'll be right back after this break.
Thanks for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. This is a weekly presentation to help you learn more about protecting your assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. Herzog Law has offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 11 and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Their attorneys are available to help you. To schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jay Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact the Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581. To reach the Kingston office, call 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jay Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio, and I'm now hungry after Paul's call.
I am hungry, too. I can really use some lasagna.
He said he made antipas, so he should just bring that when he shows up.
Antipas. I got to tell you, people talk about asking the question, what's your favorite meal of all time? You get that question sometimes. Mine's an easy answer. My grandmother, my father was off the boat as well from Italy, but her lasagna.
Oh, yeah.
Number one in my books. Okay. It's been a while, obviously, but anyway.
Right. Oh, that's
Grandma's lasagna.
Mm-hmm. And the sauce, right? The sauce is the secret.
The sauce is the make or break, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And Paul, just to let you know, these are lawyers here. They do lawyer stuff. So, I mean, if you need to make a new will, not that you have to, but are lawyers right here. All you have to do
Ben.
Is, you know,
point.
And you might want to just reset where you guys are located and phone number and everything so that Paul's aware that he could call you and set up an appointment, a free appointment.
Free consultation.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah,
Ben.
You could come into Saratoga, Queensbury, Albany, or Kingston, and you can give us a call at 518-465-7581. And Phil would love your recipe. So.
That's right. Bring your recipe.
I would absolutely be honored to have one of your recipes. And you can also have a phone conference or a Zoom conference. We try to be very, amendable for our clients.
And we travel to people's homes if you can't make it out.
That's right.
And we still have calls that you can make right now. If you have a question, 518-476-5900. You can get in touch with the lawyers who are here and would love to take care of you this morning. So if you have a question about estate planning, Medicaid, things like that, give us a call, 518-476-5900.
We have a Fats Domino story, but we could use maybe a Chubby Checker story.
So. There you go. That'd be fine.
Yeah, that's right. We take music stories.
That was a good story, though.
That was a good story.
So before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the negative consequences of not planning or not planning well, and we were kind of going through, if you don't have a power of attorney or a healthcare proxy, you become incompetent, having to go through a formal guardianship proceeding, which is expensive, stressful, time-consuming, creates family conflict a lot of times, all of the above, and can be easily avoided with some simple estate planning documents most of the time. So
that's right.
That's one thing. So we also talked quite often about, probate and, related to, I guess, Paul's call a little while ago. It's really important and necessary to have a will.
It is.
But oftentimes a will is, what I say, necessary but not always sufficient because there's other things we want to consider. I often want the will for majority of my clients to be a safety net.
Yes.
So for certain things that we can't account for by other planning, the will is there to capture it, make sure it goes where it's intended to go, maybe in a little, longer, more scenic route to get to that point.
Right.
But for things we can't account for, right? All the stuff we know about, insurance policies, bank accounts, and retirement accounts, all those things you want to name beneficiaries on if possible. And real estate, a lot of times we're putting into the trust to do planning on that to avoid probate as well, because those are what we call will substitutes. Those things like beneficiaries and living trusts supersede a will and are more automatic when the person passes away.
Yeah, so last night when I met that client, his estate would have been relatively simple. He has the one daughter who's getting everything, but he owned property. So, and he had a will, right? So he had a will giving everything to his daughter. But had he passed away, she would still have had to probate the will and go to court.
So assume for a moment, Jaymarie, that, and I hate to even speak that way, but someone like that, say we do that planning and the person passes away, you know, the next day or a week later.
Right.
What you just did saved that daughter probably a year in court.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, honestly. And that's just the way it is. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? You said the guy has one daughter and there's no one else. Who else is going to contest anything?
Doesn't matter.
All true. Just doesn't matter. That's just the way the law works and the timelines that are involved.
Yeah. She would have been held up, you know, doing anything with the property. And I mean, we were talking, and even though we had a will, we don't know if she was on his bank accounts or not. So that was something they're going to try and take care of.
Okay.
So she would have been held up with everything.
She wouldn't have
been able to access bank accounts or, you know, do anything. So kind of a learning experience for them, but for anyone else is to, you know, either do a will with, do a trust to take care of your real estate, put beneficiaries on your bank accounts, do all these things to try and stay out of probate.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, if you're fortunate enough to have beneficiaries that don't have issues, you know, meaning that they're old enough, they're adults, is where you trust that they can have the money immediately. Mm-hmm. They don't have special needs. They don't have any kind of serious issues like drug or gambling addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Really simple. Put the beneficiaries, things of that nature. If it gets more complicated, we can still avoid probate for people like that. But then we're talking about doing, you know, trusts and having even financial accounts.
Yes.
In some kind of trust with rules.
That's right. And then another little twist to this, and if you remember, but he had some charities named in his original will.
That's right.
So that would make a probate process even longer, because if you name a charity, we have to get the attorney general involved.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And we told the clients a lot about this when they're wanting to make charitable bequests in a will. The easiest version of a will of probate takes a year, right?
Right.
That's the easiest, cleanest version. There are a bunch of things that could delay that process even longer. One of them, if you name, like you said, a charity as a percent beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, say I leave 10 cents to St. Jude's Foundation.
Right.
10% of what?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that New York has is that they want to have the attorney general involved to be able to know that charity is getting the percentage of what they're entitled to get, which I get.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're protecting the interest of the charities.
Sure.
Correct.
Right. But it does create a whole another process where you have to basically do like a formal accounting and that's more money, more time that's spent on the probate. There's also cases, say you have individuals involved who are minors or who are legally incapacitated and that they're part of your class of closest living heirs. The court's going to have to appoint what we call a GAL, a guardian ad litem, to represent the interests of that incapacitated person.
Mm-hmm.
Again, creating delays and more expenses. And, you know, there's so many different potential costs of probate other than, you know, the financial that we could talk about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Taking time like that, if you can't sell something for a long period of time, that really, you know, could affect the value. Mm-hmm. You're also incurring expenses while you're waiting to sell real estate.
Yeah, right. Those costs don't go away yet. If you own real estate, you're still paying property taxes. You're still keeping the light, the electric and the gas on, you know, all those things, having to maintain the property, having to worry about... Did you ever have a case where squatters came in?
No,
I had one. Oh, so I had one down on Long Island, and it was a property sitting vacant for a long time. A, they didn't start probate for a while, and B, when they started probate, there were some issues and it was taking a long time. And no one was closely monitoring this vacant house.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it came to be that some squatters just moved in. Mm-hmm. And what people don't know sometimes is that you can't forcibly remove someone even if they don't have the right to be there. Right? Ooh. Once someone's in the house.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So the police couldn't just forcibly remove this family that had moved in. Or I don't know if it was a family, whoever it was. You still have to go through some version of an eviction process, which might sound crazy.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah, so that was not a good one.
That's not a good one. That's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was tough.
Just squatters. I picture that as like an I don't know. An old-fashioned thing, but I guess it still happens.
Yeah, in some places, you'd be surprised how often it does happen. I came to learn through that. Not a good scenario. So that's a potential thing. Sometimes we have individuals who are small business owners, and if there's no one who can immediately take over the operations of the business when someone passes away because of probate, that could create business interruption. That could devalue the business because there's issues going on if they want to sell the business.
Oh, I've seen that happen where literally you can't like pay payroll. Things are on hold.
Yeah. No one has the authority, right?
Right. Until you get like a temporary administrator or a temporary executor in.
Now, what's even worse than probate? Not having a will at all.
Yes.
And we have to go through an administration proceeding. So administration is probate when a will doesn't exist. And it's a very similar process. But why I say it's worse is because New York law is deciding, you know, who gets the right to be in control. Like, it's called the administrator, which is like the executor, who actually inherits your stuff. And that doesn't always work out as the deceased person would have intended.
Right. It's not who they intended. And we have to sometimes find these relatives that you haven't spoken to in years. We don't know where they are. We have to locate them. And that really can add months or more onto a whole proceeding in court.
Let's say your closest family consists of, you know, cousins as a somewhat extreme example. Mm-hmm. You might have 20 cousins, right? I have, I don't know, I might have like 35 cousins.
I'm sure you do.
It's, I have a big family. Can you imagine my executor having...
got to track down, got to track that one down.
It's incredible because I don't stay in touch with every single cousin. I couldn't tell you their addresses, phone numbers.
Do you have cousins back in Italy?
No, not first cousins. Okay. So that whole side had come over. So that's all like second cousins and whatnot. So they wouldn't be involved. But
we've had clients where we have had to go back either to Italy or Europe or somewhere
international
to find cousins. That's really tough. Yeah.
And that's going to take a long time. That's going to, sometimes we can't do it ourselves and we have to hire like a private investigator or a genealogist.
That's right.
Can be really expensive and take a really long time in that scenario.
Right.
Or, you know, talking about people inheriting who you didn't intend to. I have in the past, just maybe a year and a half, two cases where, and I've probably mentioned this before, but they stick in my mind, husband and wife and only one spouse was on the deed for their home.
Mm-hmm.
No will, have minor kids. The person who is on the home passes away.
Yep.
And because of how the law of intestacy works when you don't have a will, those minor kids legally became about half owners of the marital home.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Not something you would think about. And then because there's minors, there's a guardian ad litem involved. Everything is quite complicated.
I mean, now the surviving parent, spouse, has to figure out a way to buy out the minor kids to get them off, and it needs court permission. And this
if
and
I
that.
Had to buy my kids out, I'd give them a dollar. That's all.
Kick them to the curb. Get out of here. You're going to tell the court I gave you money.
I got to tell my court that's all they deserve. Then, you know.
But so that in those cases, obviously, that was not the intended consequence. And that could have been avoided just by a really, really simple will saying it goes to my spouse. Didn't exist there. So really negative consequence there.
That's right. Yeah. So I really think the bottom line from all this is, you know, making sure you have the right paperwork in place is going to save you time and money later on.
And if you're feeling stressed out about this and thinking it's overwhelming, don't think you have to do everything all at once, right? Even if you say, people tell me about trust and this and that. Even if we'd meet the first time, a lot of times we talk about all these things and I say, well, if you're not comfortable, let's at least get the basic documents in place.
Yeah, let's at least get
first.
Your will done and we'll keep talking about the trust and for the future, but get your basics done.
At least you have the base framework. You have the safety nets in place if the extremely negative situations happen. And we can always add to and or adjust your estate plan in the future. It's not a static set of documents. It's fluid.
Right.
It's there to change with you. You know, your attorneys, we or whoever they may be, should be there as a support system as things happen in your life, and we can adjust these things as necessary.
That's right.
All right, everybody, have a nice week.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.